Good morning again, my friend. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, more this week on the wilderness, one of God's major making places in our life, the place where we go to learn to lean upon Him, a place of learning, the place for spiritual growth and development. Now, I know the wilderness is rarely spoke of in most churches, and if it is, it is most often spoke of as a negative experience, something bad, a place where you must have sinned and you need to be delivered. But, oh no, this wrong thinking is not from the heart and has little to do with understanding of spiritual things from people who know not a holy God and has little to no spiritual development and growth. Oh, how this teaching is needed in the church today. If this message moves your heart, my friend, and you want to learn more, please email me at charliegolf1@outlook.com, and I will send you more information about this important making place and us going to the wilderness. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Are you asking God to make you strong? Well, guess what, my friend, He never will. God wants to show us that we were never made, we're never created to possess strength. Oh no, we were created to be empty and weak and dependent, naked of any assets within us. This is unto the end that Paul writes about in Galatians 2:20. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul writes, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. That word infirmities, there's his weaknesses, and reproaches, and necessities, and persecution, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hey, let me say that again. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I hope you get that, my friend. When I am weak, then I am strong. Well, where does the knowledge of strength is really found in our weakness learned? Well, that's right. Only in one place, in the wilderness. God shows us the truth that we are empty so that we might go through on to put our faith in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that's right. You know, you must be empty to be filled with Christ. Let me say that again. We must be empty to be filled with Christ. And we cannot be filled with Christ and the world. At the same measure we allow God to empty us of the world and ourselves, at that same measure we shall be filled with Christ. No more, no less, my friend. And this is why God allows us to wander in our wilderness until we learn we can do nothing without Him. So God says, I know all about your sin and your weaknesses. I know that it is impossible for you to overcome them. And I'm not asking you to do anything before you abide in Christ. Rather, I am asking you to understand and confess the corruption in yourself that I already see. And I'm asking you to abide in Christ regardless, solely on the basis of Him. Now, please pay close attention here, my friend. Most folks sadly become upset at such a suggestion because they think it will mean that a person can take it as a license to sin. But how much space does God have to devote to such nonsense before we see the truth about it? If this is you, then I suggest you read Romans 6-8 and open up your spirit by coming to these essential chapters in the Bible with a non-biased heart condition and an open spirit. If not, you will always be bound by the pretense and the appearance of sin and not be free to move with God. I know too many Christians today who are bound with the touch not, taste not, feel nots of Christianity. Paul in Colossians 2:20-22 was talking about this very thought. Paul writes, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, or a new creation in Christ Jesus, really saved, and our faith is only in Christ, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though being living in the world, are ye subject to ordinance, touch not, taste not, and feel not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrine of men? Now, these ordinances would would include and not be limited to water baptism and what people call communion or the Lord's Supper. In other words, Paul was saying, if, the most important word of the Bible, if we are truly saved and walking with the Lord, but if we keep the commandments of men and the doctrines of men, then we are not truly saved. We are religious, but we're lost. We cannot do both. Either we will keep the one and walk in newness of life and shun the commandments and doctrines of men, or we will walk in the ways of keeping the commandments and doctrine of men and shun the truth of the gospel and having our faith solely in Christ Jesus. We cannot do both. If we are really concerned about our behavior and works and sin, the fact is that we only way in which we are ever going to overcome sin and begin to obey God from the heart is if we first abide in Christ in faith, regardless of our sin. In other words, we are never to try to make ourselves worthy in order to enter into Christ. Rather, if we first enter into Christ solely by faith, then there will be victory over sin because we are abiding in Him by faith, and we will see not that we are made worthy, but He is always was worthy, and His finished work is eternally in place from the cross. I hope you are getting this, my friend. The difference between not getting it and getting it is freedom. Freedom to move with God in peace and know for sure without a question or doubt that your sin and your sins have been really forgiven, because this is based not on our good works or our good deeds, but on the finished work of Christ on the cross. And our faith is not in the cross now. It's not in the cross. Oh no, but it's in the one that hung upon the cross. Our faith is in Christ Jesus. How silly to try to keep the appearance of not sinning. Paul taught the church at Thessalonica this in Thessalonians 5:21-22. Here Paul writes, "Prove all things, hold fast that is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Of all appearance of evil, Thessalonians 5:22. In verse 21, Paul tells the folks to prove or approve or discern or examine or identify or judge all things. Then in verse 22, to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now it says all. It doesn't mean some. It means all. Not a few. It means all. Or it doesn't mean a little bit of evil. All no, but it means all. But how do we do that? How do we not appear as if we are doing something evil? You know, we cannot do this. Well, Paul was telling us to do this. Paul was saying, if we see evil appearing from this direction, you know, then we need to abstain from that, or we need to identify that. We need to judge it. You know, we need to, you know, examine that, and then we need to flow in the opposite direction of the evil that is coming in. We cannot help what people think about us, but we can help what we do and who and what our faith is in. Let me say that again. We cannot help what people think about us. Is he sinning or is he not sinning, or what's going on there? We cannot help all that. But what we can help is what we do and who and what our faith is in. And if our faith is not solely in Christ, then we will not be able to move correctly with God. We will not be saved at all. We will be religious, but we will be lost. That is not what God wants for our life. He wants us to put our faith solely in Him. Amen. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory. Trusting you have a great week. Trusting that the Lord is able to minister in your life, and trusting that you will come to the understanding that it's not what you can do, but what God has, what Jesus has already done on the cross. And because of that finished work, we are saved. He's sanctifying us. He's justified us. And now we are walking with Him. And based on that, and based on that alone, when we go to meet Him, have it be in the resurrection or in our death, then we will be with Him in heaven forever and ever and ever. God bless. Talk to you next week.